We need to get in the Bible, don't we? Let's go to Genesis chapter 5. Oh, mercy. I got a lot to cover. I don't know how we're going to do it. So we'll do what we can. Learn what we can this morning. I'm sure God has some good things for us. It's good to have you in the house of the Lord. And we're going to start in chapter 5 and maybe get into a little bit of chapter 6 of Genesis. I'll tell you what. Let's begin reading in the 25th verse of chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4 verse 25, because it is introductory to chapter 5. It says, "And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth, for God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And so to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. The days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, as we get in here and try to discern, Lord, from your word, the Bible truths and principles that then, Lord, we can apply to our lives. Help us to be attentive. Help us to get these things. Lord, I feel like many, many times we're standing up and we open the old black book and we begin to teach, Lord, the way you view things and the way you intended things to be. Lord, it seems like we're almost speaking in terms of direct contrast to everything we see around us. But I thank God, Lord, that there's a people here that still want to hear the Bible. There's a people assembled here that still want to do things God's way. And Lord, you said you'd always have your remnant. But Lord, I pray that you'd help us not to become affected or infected, Lord, with this worldly philosophy and society. Help us to learn some things from the Bible. Maybe hit some reset buttons in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, Adam, the Bible says, lived 930 years. Now, if you look up at that in the Hebrew, what that really means is that he lived 930 years. He lived 930 years. And very interesting. Seth, his son, 912 years. Enos, the next descendant, 905. Then Canaan, 910. And then let me read off the rest of the amounts here, and we'll get an idea then. 912, 905, 910, 895, 895 years, 962 years. Enoch, 365 years, but his life was interrupted because the Bible says that for God took him, he was not, which means that the Lord didn't allow him to live out his entire lifespan and die a natural death, but instead the Lord just, in a sense, raptured him up. Here was a man that the Bible says walked with God. We'll talk about Enoch a little bit. And then the most famous, Methuselah, 269, his son Lamech, 777. And then we find that Noah is 500 years old at the beginning of chapter number 6 when he is commissioned to build the ark, which is kind of interesting. I'm too old to serve the Lord. Well, Noah started building the ark at 500 years of age. Now, these are real lifespans, folks. This is accurate. This is the Bible. God's not kidding. You remember we talked a little bit about that firmament of water that protected the earth, caused it to basically be a tropical world from top to bottom. And after the flood, that's going to disappear. Some say that had some effect on the lifespan. I think what really had an effect on the lifespan, we're going to find out, is something called sin. God became so displeased with the way that men were becoming that God declared that he would shorten their lifespan, and he did. He shortened it from this range of 900 all the way down to 120, 120. You think about that. God just basically, a little over 75% of their lifespan, cut it off. You know why? Now think about this. 900 years. You ever feel like, fellows, you know, that you hit about the time of life when you've accumulated enough resources and knowledge and you're just starting to build, and all of a sudden you start running out of energy, and everything that you now know well enough to do, you hardly have the strength to do. Well, you think about that. These men continued on in strength for 800, 900 years. Because of that, the civilization, the pre-flood civilizations, were a lot more advanced than we may originally think. I'm going to bring you some things out when we talk about the flood next week. But there are some very interesting discoveries that are being made even right now, that they're digging out civilizations that were as advanced in some areas as ours are. But you think about a man who had learned some things and could continue building knowledge and developing skills and doing that over a span of 800-900 years. God finally said, well, that was good when Seth and this generation was over here and they were using those energies for God. But when we begin to see the intermarrying beginning in chapter number 6 and society becoming wicked and walking away from God, God said, you know what? You're using that extended lifespan just to fully develop the wrong thing. So I'm just going to shorten it. And from the time after the flood, time before the flood till now, we're somewhere in the 70s for an average lifespan. And I think that God has just said, you know what? I can't trust men with long life. Isn't that sad? I can't trust mankind with long life. I can't give them 500 or 600, 700 years, because instead of building the right things and building on the right things, all they do is tend to spend their extra years developing the wrong things. So he, I think, limited us in some ways. So I want to start out by talking about that. Now, we're not going to spend a lot of time in chapter 5. Most of this is the what we call the begats. And this is the lineage or the civilization that is opposite of the one we found in chapter number 4. Remember, in chapter 4, we saw the civilization of Cain. This is that civilization that was developed after Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, basically turned his back on God. We learned some things about this civilization. We'll review them in a few minutes. But we see in chapter number 5, then, God raises up a son to replace Abel, and that young man's name is Seth. It says in chapter 4, verse 26 that we read, "And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." It's very interesting. I've got it in my Schofield notes here, and I double-checked this, and I think it's pretty accurate. It says, "Or call themselves by the name of Jehovah." These were those that were known as the children of God. This is the civilization that called upon God, was called by His name. Let me contrast these two civilizations, because everything we're going to begin to learn in chapter number 6 is based on this, so stay with me. Here we have Cain and Abel together. Cain slays Abel. And then God says to Cain, you know what, I'm going to put a mark on you, and I'm not going to let men take your life, but I'm going to put a curse upon you. And Cain leaves the presence of the Lord and comes over here, far away from this other civilization, far away from mom and dad, and they begin to grow up this civilization. Remember what we studied? That a lot of things begin to come out of this civilization. They begin to build cities and name those cities after themselves. The exaltation of man. Then they became nomads, the Bible says, and they begin to wander the earth and wander. And basically, it was a civilization without roots. It was a civilization that I think was that without commitment. I think basically wherever, you think about the nomads. Why did the nomads do what they did? Why did they follow? Why did they dwell in tents? Why were they always on the move? I'll tell you why. Because of the financial decisions they made. Because of the lifestyle they chose. They basically said, we're going to make our livelihood from these herds, and wherever these herds go, we're going to go.
And that's a lot of times what society's doing now. You know, they just, whatever the buck goes, that's where they're going to go. They're going to make lifetime decisions based on the dollar instead of on God's perfect will. Then you get this, fascinating by this study, you get these two children, Tubal Cain, whose name means wealth and prosperity. And then the daughter, his sister, Naamah, who means pleasure. And all of a sudden you've got a society that's accumulating wealth, and that's what their purpose is, and living for pleasure. And then you see at the end of this civilization, we talked all this last week, that at the end of this civilization, you see where Lamech killed a man, slain a man to my wounding, a young man to my hurt, and you begin to see this violence, and this society begin to become violent. Human life begins to not mean anything. What means something is accumulating things, or having things, or if you have to, taking things, getting them any way you have to get them. And that's what you're going to have over here, folks, when you leave the presence of the Lord. Now, young people, you better listen to me. Every one of you's got a free spirit. You got a soul liberty. You walk away from the presence of God and say, you know what, I'm going to establish a lifestyle outside of the boundaries and restrictions of God Almighty and His Word. Well, all of these same things are going to develop. And pretty soon we have a civilization that's godless. They're all about themselves, self-promotion. They're about pleasure. They're about wealth. They're about how much can I accumulate. And they're about violence. And they don't call upon the name of the Lord or are known by the name of God. And then you see in chapter number 5, we have Seth. And God gives Adam and Eve another son. And his name is Seth. Now he comes over here and he begins to replenish the earth and begins to have children and grandchildren. And of course this civilization grows, but this civilization calls upon the name of the Lord. This civilization has men in it like Enoch that gets up and walks with God. I think maybe and wonder if he heard about Adam and Eve. And he was told the stories of how Adam and Eve used to, in the cool of the evening, walk with God in the garden. And I wonder if Enoch said, you know what? I wonder if God still wants to walk with men. I wonder if God would still do that today. And instead of just hearing about it, I think maybe he was just the kind of guy that said, I'm going to go out there on the back 40 every morning, and I'm just going to walk around and just begin to talk to God and see if He'll come down in presence like He did with Adam, like He did with Eve. So this was the civilization that walked with God. This was a civilization. By the way, this is the blood-washed civilization. You say, Brother Jerry, how do you know this? Well, remember, Abel's the one that brought the lamb. He brought the sheep. He did the right thing. How do you know that this generation did this same thing? Because the Bible said that they began to call upon the Lord. Let me tell you something. You're not going to walk with God, communicate with God, or have a relationship with God outside the blood. I mean, you got to come through the blood. So this is the blood wash. This is the blood sacrifice group. This is the one that are seeking God and walking with God and calling upon God. And it is known by His name. This civilization is over here. This other civilization is over here. But what I'm going to hit upon this morning is absolutely foundationally so important. Young people, listen to me. This is the turn their back on God generation. This is the do your own thing generation. This is the how much money can I make group. How much pleasure can I experience? We'll decide what's right. We'll decide what's wrong. We're going to build empires and cities and name them after ourselves. We're going to get what we want, and we'll get it any way we want to get it. We don't care who we hurt. We're just going to try to get everything we can get. I don't care who I hurt getting it. This is that generation over here. Now, sad thing began to happen, folks, when we get to Genesis chapter number 6. So let's jump over there because we've laid the foundation now for what we're going to teach this morning. We've got about 24 minutes, so stay with me because I think you're going to learn some interesting things. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God, you ought to underline that, sons of God, and the daughters of men saw the daughters of men. And these are two separate groups, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Very interesting. Now, these are not aliens. These are not men marrying fallen angels. There's no spaceships here. But what we have, why don't we just stay with what the Scripture's teaching? I mean, chapter 4 outlines a civilization that's away from God. Chapter 5 outlines a civilization that's following God. Chapter 6, they say the sons of God and the daughters of men. Okay, I mean, in this elementary, just follow the Bible, folks, all right? So here we all have over here, wonder if this is the sons of God or the daughters of men. These are the sons of God. These are the young men that are called by the name of God. They call upon the name of God or are called by the name of Jehovah. These are the sons of God. But you know what? This civilization kept expanding and kept expanding and kept expanding. And this one kept expanding and growing. And all of a sudden, there began to be some interaction between these two civilizations. Are you listening to me? I'm going to answer the question this morning, why the flood? I'm going to tell you why God had to send a flood. You say, well, I think I know, Brother Jerry, because the Bible says the hearts of men were wicked and their imaginations were only evil continually. I'm going to tell you why they became that way. I'm going to tell you why the flood. What I'm going to tell you, folks, we have got to decide to believe. We have got to decide to live. Young people, we can raise you around here. We can teach you. We can preach to you. We can share with you the words of God. But young people, if you grow up and you blow it in this one area, let me tell you something. You set back the progress of the Church of Jesus Christ, sometimes by generations, just by making one foolish decision. One foolish decision. So what happens here? I'll tell you what happens here. These sons of men of God begin to see the daughters of men. And the Bible says then that they, and by the way, it says that when they saw the daughters of men, that they were F-A-I-R, fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And immediately, notice this, God was angry. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Two things God happens immediately. God is angered by what is happening, and God immediately, drastically shortens the lifespan of mankind. Now, why did he do that? What made him mad? What made him mad? Why was he so disappointed? Why was he so angry? I'm mad enough to take a generation up to this point had averaged a lifespan over 900 years. And now all of a sudden, boom, it's down to 120? What happened? I'll tell you what. Some of the young men in this group over here stopped looking for the pure, wholesome, godly girls. And start looking over into this other place, and they begin to choose the girls. By the way, the Bible says that they saw them. And the reason that they chose them was because they were fair. So their decision was based on outward appearance and not inward godliness. Outward appearance, not inward godliness. And so God became angry with this. It's very interesting. Say, why the flood? Well, and by the way, maybe I can share this with you. Say, Brother Jerry, why is this such a big deal? And by the way, this is huge. This is more. It's bigger than I can make it. It's bigger than I have the vocabulary. It's bigger than I have the passion to express to you. Every young person in here. By the way, if you're in here, and you're a young person, and you're in here, and you're not married yet, you ought to be listening with both ears. You better be listening with both ears. You need to pay attention to what I'm saying. Because I'll tell you what. Young person after young person after young person. And this society, and our spiritual society, is in decline because of foolish decisions by young people who know better. By young people who know better. Now, let me show you. Say, Brother Jerry, what's the big deal? All right, let me show you what the big deal is. Let's see here. I've done this before, but maybe, Nathan, would you help me and Stephen? By the way, Stephen, I have something for you. We gave cards out Wednesday night to those that are heading off to Bible college, and you were out of town, so I'll give that to you. Let me have you guys come up here. And Kyle, you want to help me too? Let me show you the difference here. Come right over here. Now, mankind is a triune being. God said, I'm going to make man in my image. Since God is a triune being, man is a triune being. He's created a body, which I put the flesh down here, the body or the flesh, a soul that lives forever. By the way, that's the mind and the heart. The seat of the intellect, seat of the emotions make up the soul. That is who you truly are. This is the part of you that will live forever. Okay? And then he gave him a spirit. Now, when Adam died in the, or sinned in the garden, Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, the Bible says, in the day that thou sinnest, thou shalt surely die. In that day, well, this didn't die. They didn't drop over dead when they ate the fruit. This lives forever, so it didn't die. But this died. This died, okay? And so what happens when the blood sacrifice was offered and accepted in anticipation of Jesus Christ one day coming and providing that, this Adam and Eve became once again a triune being because their spirit was reborn. And this is what happens to us. I want you to picture this for a minute. Stay with me. Because this group over here, this civilization that's following God and going through the blood washed group, this is what they are. Now, this is not three people. This is one person. Now, this was a, let me move you, this was a spiritual civilization where the spirit was predominant. By the way, this is the part of you that, only part of you that can have fellowship with God. The Bible says the spirit, capital S, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. He that worship God must worship him in. This is the only part of you that can have contact with God. That's why you have to be born again before you can once again have a renewed relationship with God. The flesh is way back here. Now, this is one person. But this civilization is about being, by the way, this is the picture of a spiritual man or spiritual woman, where the spirit is the strongest part. It says of John the Baptist that he waxed strong in spirit. It says of Jesus that he waxed strong in spirit. You know what that means? The spirit was the most powerful part. It was the most developed part. It was the most important part. Then the spirit, by the way, which is controlled by the Holy Spirit, then controls your intellect and your emotions and helps you to have spiritual emotions and spiritual thought life and a spiritual intellect. By the way, the flesh is the least important. Matter of fact, if anything, we've got to keep this thing, the Bible says, crucified. Okay, now, keep that picture in mind. Now, you go ahead and sit down just a second. You two come over here. Here is Cain's civilization. By the way, they left the presence of God. They died spiritually. They weren't interested in the blood sacrifice. So this civilization, and I want you Christian young people to understand this. Oh, it doesn't hurt to date somebody that's not saved. It doesn't hurt to marry somebody that's not saved. Well, this is what you're getting. Now, you're going to get one of two combinations of this. You get in the front, okay? Let me continue to read here, and I'm going to try to teach you a little something. Notice that after the sons of God saw the daughters of men, look in your Bibles for a second, verse 2, that they took them wives, plural, by the way. By the way, where did they learn that at? What civilization started that? Remember what we taught? So all of a sudden, you're not seeing a godly civilization pull up an ungodly civilization. You're seeing, when they begin to interact, an ungodly civilization pulling down a godly civilization. They start leaving their standards. They start leaving their beliefs and their convictions. They begin to adopt what they're doing. Now watch this. Verse number 4. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men. Now, you ought to underline this. Mighty men, which were of old, and then, comma, men of renown. By the way, that's an interesting study. There was two types of men that were coming out of this unholy union. You either had what's known as the mighty men, which, by the way, they can't be spiritual because they don't have a spirit. Their spirit's dead. So this is the only two parts they have to work with. So they tend to either emphasize the flesh and try to become mighty by becoming mighty through the flesh. And by the way, it's right here in this society today. This is your sports athletes. These are your bodybuilders. These are your Hollywood Romeos. I mean, that's it. The most important thing is how I look or how strong I am or how much I can fight or how hard I can kick a ball or throw a ball. And these are the ones that are worshipped in this society. Okay? And so you have the mighty men. Now let me have you switch places. Or you have, by the way, you may have read this and think, well, Brother Jerry, that doesn't sound too bad. The sons of God married the daughters of men. They had offspring and they were mighty men and men of renown. Well, what it means is that they were men that the flesh was the most important thing, and that's what they accented, and that's what they developed because, by the way, that's all they've got. Or men of renown, we've got some of them that did not. Now, by the way, this became the most prominent. Either the mind or the emotions, intellect or the heart, mind or the emotions. And so you've got the philosophers, you've got the intellectuals, you've got the, the actors that can manipulate emotions and use their emotions. It's just what we've got today. What's the biggest, most celebrated groups in society today? In this world society today, who are the millionaires? Who are the superstars? Who are the heroes? It's either the, by the way, if this was a, let me have you switch back. I just talked about men. If this is women, unsaved women, by the way, they looked upon them, saw them, that they were fair. It's all about the flesh. The beauty queens, the models, the Hollywood stars, the divas. Okay, now switch back. So they've only got two choices. They're either going to become great on this earth because they're going to accent the flesh, or they're going to become great because they're going to use their mind and or emotions and manipulate people or learn things, and it's the same thing. You know, if you talk to the average person out there on the street, happened right here in Casey's this morning. I went in there, and I go in there every Sunday morning to take communion, and I better just leave that alone, shouldn't I? But a guy in front of me was just busting at the seams. He drove up in a nice truck, got out, got in there to get his Sunday paper, dressed for church in his shirts and his shorts and Hawaiian shirt, probably getting ready to go to the house of God, and got his paper, and he couldn't wait to tell the lady in front of me, "Hey, you know what? I want to tell you this. My daughter," and he started down, he said, "she just got accepted to Rose Holman." And really, and the lady was so impressed. That's great. The guy's just beaming, you know. But I'm not against that. But you know what's important to the world? You're great, or we need to be impressed if you're intellectual, you're smart, or you run into other ones. Hey, my son got a basketball scholarship. My daughter got a volleyball scholarship to this university or that university. We're supposed to go, wow. And then if you interrupt these people that are talking this and say, hey, my middle daughter's going back for her second year at Commonwealth and she's studying to serve God. And they just look at you like, so? Why, what's wrong with her? No, honestly. That's, and by the way, I expect the world to think like that. I just don't like that in the church. I don't understand why God's people get caught up and they're impressed when somebody makes it big in a sports arena, or they're impressed because somebody is smart and can make all these. But you know what? They never look at whether or not they're spiritual. Now, I'm not against developing the strength, and I'm not against sports, and I'm not against using your mind, and I'm not. But you know what? If you are strong in these two areas and a spiritual weakling, then you resemble Cain civilization more than you do Seth civilization. It's just the way it is. And we need to be back, get back to the point where a spiritual young person is the celebrated ones in God's house. You see, but this is what you've got. This is the choices you have. So you say, well, wow, that's not bad. You either got these super smart people that are philosophers and all of this, or you've got these strong, athletic, or beautiful women. Well, let's see. You say, Brother Jerry, is that bad? Well, let's see what the next verse says. Right after verse 4, it says, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of his thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. Now, young people, listen to me, and I've kind of run past the main point, but let me just stand right on top of it and say it plain and straight. If you are a child of God, you know what? You're supposed to be over here in this civilization. You're supposed to marry in this civilization. You're supposed to raise your children in this civilization. Get your stinking eyes away from this group over here. You see? I wonder why these girls, by the way, caught their eye. You get a civilization that walked completely away from God, and now multiple generations later, with no godly influence, I wonder how they were dressed. I wonder how they walked. I wonder how they talked. And boy, every once in a while, I want to just grab some young man around here and shake you good and hard. Are you that shallow? Are you really that shallow? You don't ever consider the spirituality? You'll walk right past 10 godly, modestly dressed, soul-winning, bus-working, character girls and go chase some short skirt with a bunch of makeup? What in the world is wrong? You girls will walk right by some godly men that love God and set up in church and have their Bible open and go soul winning and serve God in the ministries of this church, and you're going to go chase some heathen guy somewhere? Say, it's none of your business, Brother Jerry. Well, I'm going to tell you something. It's God's business. And God's watching, and it still makes God mad. And it still sets the civilization back, and it still produces what it produces. You see? Nothing's changed. There's no new thing under the sun. So what I'm telling you as your preacher and pleading with you this morning is be careful. Every once in a while, one of our young people come up in conversation. And I end up almost saying this when I get done with every young person. Because let me just say this straight to you. What do you think about so-and-so? What do you think about so-and-so? What do you think about him? What do you think about her? What do you think? Where are they going to be in 5 years? Where are they going to be in 10 years? Are they going to stay in the church? Are they going to serve God? Are they going to... And just about across the board, I'll tell you about that young person. Let me tell you where they'll be or not be in 10 years. It's all going to hinge on who they marry. It's all going to hinge on who they marry. Well, Brother Jerry, there's other Baptist churches. Yeah, I know. Well, I've just been hanging around with this. I know. Well, they're saved, Brother Jerry. They're saved. Well, okay. How do you know that? How do you know that? Let me just encourage you young people by giving you some things to think about. You guys can be seated, by the way. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. I'll take my papers back here. Thank you. I hope you'll remember that. Some saved young person says, well, I'll marry one from that camp and then I will help them become spiritual. You can't get somebody that doesn't have a spirit to be spiritual. But they said they'd come to church with me. They've been coming to church. Amazing, when they got interested in you, they started coming to church. Now, folks, this is no new thing. The reason you're hearing adults say this, this happens over and over and over and over again. Same old thing. Saint used the same old plan. It's happened since I was a teenager. Good kids, when I was in the youth group, got hooked up with the wrong... I mean, good kids with unbelievable potential got hooked up, started chasing around the wrong type of person, married the wrong type of person. And you know what? Not only are they a mess, their kids are a mess. Their kids are a mess. Let me give you some things to think about. Number one, no unsaved person should ever be considered as a potential marriage partner. 2 Corinthians 6:14 still says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Did you know that the main reason God sent the Old Testament flood to destroy the world was because of Christian young people making the foolish decision to marry unbelievers? And it produced a godless society. Instead of having... By the way, this is why we talk about separation. This is why separation is important. See, we think, well, what we need is bring these two civilizations together. This plus this always equals godlessness. This is why we've got to stay separated. This is light, this is darkness. This is saved, this is lost. Children of God, children of the devil. Now, Brother Jerry, we should have no interaction. No, the Bible tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Our involvement and interaction with them ought to be in an attempt to bring them to Jesus Christ. But you don't win them to Christ by dating them, or pursuing them, or flirting with them, or becoming like them. You don't win them that way. They win you that way. You see. So you got two civilizations emerging from Adam and Eve. At some point, they grow and expand to the point where there began to be increased contact between these two groups. The young men who were descendants of Seth began to notice the young ladies from Cain's lineage. They began to pursue them because of one stated reason. They were fair, meaning they were appealing to the eyes and to the flesh. Years before, Cain's civilization had left behind decency and virtue. Like many young women of today's world, they had been raised with the dangerous notion that the way to attract men was through immodesty and seduction. They wore less, but they were also worth far less. Who can find a virtuous woman for a price is far above rubies? God's reaction to His children marrying the worldly lost inhabitants of earth was anger. It still is today. He was so angry, He shortened the lifespan of man to 120 years. Adam lived to be 930 years old. If you take 930 and compare it to 120, 87% reduction of lifespan compared to Adam's length of life. 87%. I'm going to cut your life. Imagine if, you know, if God cut our life by 87% today, we'd never see double digits. If God said, "I'm sick of what's going on right now in the world today, and I'm going to take the average lifespan and cut it down by 87%, nobody here would live past 5, 6, 7 years old. That's in comparison. That gives you an idea of what happened to this. That's how mad this made God. This is how dangerous this is. And so what happens? Did the children of this unscriptural marriages grow up to serve the Lord? No, just the opposite is true. The Bible describes the next generation in sad and frightening terms. "And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Watch this. "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, for it repenteth me that I have made them." God let this go on for a couple more generations. He saw the civilization spiraling down. By the way, you know what God did? He looked way over here in this civilization and says, "Is there a remnant? Is there anyone left?" And the Bible says, "Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." And in the midst of all this hellishness, there was a man that said, "You know what? Civilization can do what they want to, and even God's people can do what they want to, but I'm going to raise my family to serve God." And God looked down and said, "That's the only hope civilization has." And he said, "Noah, get your three boys and start building a boat." And they built a boat, and he put them on them. You know why? Because the civilization, the godly civilization, was at risk of disappearing completely. And God basically started all over. And this Bible still today is full of encouragement for God's people to stay here. Yeah, come over here. If you're going to come over here, bring gospel tracts. If you're going to come over here, then let's go soul winning. If you're going to come over here, drive a bus in, get them, drive them back out, and bring them over here. Get on the radio and preach the gospel. I mean, we'll do everything we can. But this idea of having social and romantic interaction, God says no. And so, young people, you know what? It's here, right in front of you. And God hasn't changed his mind a bit. And the results won't change just because you decide to do it, or I decide to do it, or anybody decides to do it. The same faulty formula will lead to the same faulty results. And so if we get anything from chapter 4, 5, and 6, and we're going to talk about the flood next week and talk a little bit about Noah, but we need to understand something. I think the devil is winning in watering down, and he will eventually eliminate fundamental, independent, separated, godly Baptist people because of the upcoming generation's poor decisions to marry those of whom they are. And to the extent that that happens, really, our future is in your hands. Our future is in your hands. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll help our young people in this day and age. The brainwashing is in high gear. The world's propaganda machine's in high gear. Even within the circles of so-called Christianity, people who are separated from the world and are trying to raise their families in a godly, Christ-honoring, God-worshiping manner and won't intermingle and intermix with the world are pointed at as lunatics and fanatics and are called dangerous. Now I pray, Lord, we wouldn't care what the world says. We'd care what the Bible says, and I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to just stand where we ought to stand in this matter. In Jesus' name, amen.